Inflammation, its role in diabetes. What do we usually mean by inflammation? The NHS describes inflammation as your immune system's natural response to injury or infection. It causes swelling and can help the body deal with invading germs. Expanding on this, there are two commonly recognized types of inflammation. Acute. You are probably more familiar with this type of inflammation. Acute inflammation is the swelling, redness, warmth, and pain in or around your tissues and joints in response to an injury, such as a sprained ankle or a wound. Chronic. This type of inflammation is longer lasting and stealthier. It occurs when the immune system continues to send out inflammatory messages, prolonging the process. Many chronic diseases are linked with chronic inflammation, including type 2 diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, cancer, arthritis, and inflammatory bowel diseases.
What do we mean by inflammation when we talk about diabetes? Type 2 diabetes can be considered to be an inflammatory condition, as are the associated complications such as heart, kidney, and periodontal gum disease. The exact mechanism to explain the relationship between inflammation and type 2 diabetes is complex and still being researched. There are two elements to the relationship between diabetes and inflammation. These need to be understood together.
First, the science bit. It has been known for a long time that people with type 2 diabetes have higher levels of inflammatory chemicals in their bodies called cytokines. These chemicals are produced by the body's own immune system, usually as a result of injury or illness.
Second, the lifestyle bit. People with type 2 diabetes tend to be overweight. Researchers have found that cytokine levels tend to be elevated in fat cells. Excess body fat, especially in the abdomen, causes continuous, chronic, low levels of abnormal inflammation that alters insulin's action and contributes to the disease.
How they fit together. As type 2 diabetes starts to develop, the body becomes less sensitive to insulin, and the resulting insulin resistance also leads to inflammation. A vicious cycle can result, with more inflammation causing more insulin resistance and vice versa. Carrying excess weight exacerbates this cycle. Blood sugar levels rise higher and higher, eventually resulting in type 2 diabetes. There is still debate as to whether cytokines actually cause type 2 diabetes or are produced as a result of it. Either way, people with type 2 diabetes have higher levels of cytokines and higher levels of chronic inflammation. Excess body fat, especially in the abdomen, also causes continuous or chronic low levels of abnormal inflammation that alters insulin's action and contributes to the condition.
What are the signs of inflammation and how is it diagnosed? It can be difficult to tell if you have chronic inflammation as you may not see or feel the effects. Symptoms that you may notice can include 1. Fatigue. 2. Digestive pain or upset. 3. Weight gain or loss. 4. Joint pain. And 5. Skin rash. There's no definitive way for your healthcare provider to diagnose chronic inflammation, and it's important to be aware that the identification of chronic inflammation is not a diagnostic criteria for diabetes. However, some of you who have been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes may recognise these symptoms as occurring before your diagnosis. If your health professional suspects you may have chronic inflammation, it is very likely that they will do blood tests to identify blood markers for inflammation. These are
erythrocyte sedimentation rate, ESR. Effectively, this test measures the rate that red blood cells fall to the bottom of a test tube, separating from the clear blood plasma left above. If some proteins stick to the red blood cells, this will cause them to fall more rapidly. Thus, the higher the ESR, the more likely it is that there is some inflammation in the body.
C-reactive protein test, CRP. This measures the presence of one specific protein and can help identify specific conditions. This is contrasted with the ESR test, which can take into account the presence of several proteins.
Plasma viscosity test, VR. This is the least commonly used test and is often used as a supportive or monitoring test in addition to the ESR test. There are guides available as to the normal ranges for these test results, but results vary according to many factors, not least age and gender. So it is important to talk to your health professional about the results. These are non-specific tests, and raised levels may mean that something is going on and that further investigation may be needed.
Cooling the burn, reducing inflammation. Inflammation may be treated in a number of ways, most commonly with medication. However, these medicines don't remove the cause of inflammation and are not used to manage diabetes itself. Medical treatments for inflammation may include NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, such as ibuprofen and naproxen, to relieve pain, swelling and fever. Corticosteroids, such as prednisone. While effective, the long-term use can lead to other problems. Topical medications, including analgesics and steroids, may be used for inflammation of the skin or joints. Disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs, DMARDS, which include Rheumatrex, methotrexate, and azulfidine, sulfasalazine. Statins are often prescribed for people with diabetes and can reduce inflammation by reducing LDL, bad cholesterol. Conversely, they can increase blood sugar levels.
If you have type 2 diabetes or at risk of type 2 diabetes, it is highly likely that you will have been given advice on the role of lifestyle in helping you to manage the condition. Not only can adopting a healthier lifestyle help slow or even prevent the progression of the condition, but it can also help reduce chronic inflammation that may be accompanying the condition. Steps include: try including anti-inflammatory foods in your diet, such as vegetables, whole fruits, whole grains, fatty fish, nuts, seeds, and healthy oils, such as olive oil. Limiting refined carbohydrate foods, such as white bread, white pasta, white rice, sugary drinks, and foods that contain refined sugars will also help.
Focus on foods that are rich in polyphenols. These are types of antioxidants that can lower inflammation. They are found in berries, cherries, plums, red grapes, onions, spinach, kale, walnuts, almonds and legumes, beans. Tea, coffee and red wine are beverages that contain phenols, but stay within recommended limits.
Cut back on red and processed meats. These meats are high in saturated fat, which can increase inflammation.
Try cooking with anti-inflammatory herbs and spices. Turmeric, ginger, cinnamon, cumin, cloves, basil, marjoram, oregano, rosemary, parsley and peppermint all have anti-inflammatory properties.
Try making physical activity a regular part of your day. Physical activity helps the body to release anti-inflammatory chemicals and also reduces insulin resistance.
Going easy on alcohol. Small amounts of alcohol, such as red wine, may be helpful, but overdoing it can worsen inflammation.
Stopping smoking. Nicotine in tobacco activates certain white blood cells, called neutrophils, that release molecules that can increase inflammation.
Reducing stress. Stress is a part of life for most of us, but constant stress can eventually lead to chronic inflammation. Finding ways to reduce stress can help you turn off that stress response.
Certain supplements such as turmeric, garlic, ginger, lipoic acid and omega-3 fatty acids are often promoted as being anti-inflammatory. However, while they could be beneficial, you should talk with your healthcare professional before taking any type of dietary supplement.
Exercise to fight diabetes and inflammation. Walking 30 minutes a day on most days has been proved to help prevent type 2 diabetes for people at high risk. Part of exercise's power for diabetes prevention may come from its anti-inflammatory effects. Physical activity releases a flood of anti-inflammatory chemicals into the body. Exercise also causes the body's cells, especially muscle cells, to dramatically increase their sensitivity to insulin. The increased insulin sensitivity from exercise also helps reduce chronic inflammation. The benefits are seen even with moderate exercise like regular walking.
Metformin, a type 2 anti-inflammatory. Here in this article, we mentioned cytokines and their association with inflammation and type 2 diabetes. Recent research from Valencia has suggested that metformin can reduce cytokine levels because of the way in which it works with mitochondria. Mitochondria are known as organelles. Sometimes mitochondria are referred to as the powerhouses of the cell because they help turn the energy contained in foods into energy that body can utilize. It's estimated that mitochondria produce 90% of the energy required by the human body. Sometimes, however, mitochondria fail to do their work properly, resulting in a condition called mitochondrial dysfunction, which is known to contribute to type 2 diabetes. The research showed that the mitochondrial function of those participants using metformin improved compared to those not using it. More specifically, the metformin-treated patients showed significantly lower levels of two cytokines known as TNFA and IL-6, which are both substances that promote the inflammation that appear to promote diabetes. The researchers said, "Our findings have significant clinical implications, as they back the idea that metformin plays a key role in modulating the inflammation that takes place in patients with type 2 diabetes." We hope this article has helped to clarify what is meant by inflammation in relation to type 2 diabetes. Although it is a topic that is discussed regularly in research / medical forums, it is rarely something that is talked about in relation to daily diabetes management, and it is perhaps something to which we should give consideration in the long-term progression of the condition and its potential complications.